my show's on Thursday morning.
Well, mine's on Wednesday at midnight.
Every other Wednesday at midnight, Bob.
Yeah, the Church of the Subgenius.
With Mike Dyer.
And J.R. Bob Dobbs. Mike, some more rave reviews?
Yes, sure, Bob.
This is a lot, but where does this take us? How does this help to get
I really get off of this.
Welcome to another edition of the Church of the Subgenius. Good morning. My name is Michael Dyer. It is a few minutes after 12 o'clock. We have a whole lot of guests tonight, and nice to have you back, Bob.
Thanks, Mike.
It's been an electric week, hasn't it?
Has it?
It has.
Based on your perception?
My perceptions only.
Right.
Okay.
Do I agree?
That's up to you.
How's your ESP? Good.
No. Cynical.
We just heard an theme audition. Ah, wait a minute. Hitler's birthday now. This is April 20th. Normally I would call it the 19th, right? Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't Hitler's birthday April 20th?
I thought it was in July, actually.
No, that's McLuhan's birthday.
Okay.
Hitler, April 20th. So that may be why we've been creating an electric feeling the last 7 days. Abdominal. Look it up in Webster's. Then check Oxford. See, it's misspelled. Which one? English or American? Who runs the show? Visual space. The dictionary. A word has many meanings. So, Mike, we just heard another theme edition. But it's from an old standby. A real subgenius, Mr. Neufeld. Dave Neufeld felt the competition was creating a little sense of claustrophobia for his own previous theme, so he created that one. Did you hear it?
Yes.
What do you think? It's okay?
A little too upbeat for me.
Upbeat, yeah. It's a little subtle, but I think that's the atmosphere we're getting into the spring. Bob Subtle. The subtle body, Bob.
Perhaps, Bob, we should introduce our guests tonight.
We don't have any yet.
Okay.
These guys, I don't know why. We will introduce them eventually, but I think you have some things on your mind which we should deal with right away, which is Abbie Hoffman, right?
Yeah, the death of Abbie Hoffman, and today the realization that his death was, in fact, a suicide, or supposedly a suicide.
He was suicided, yeah. Yes. Of course, I know what really happened, and my sources give me the information pretty quickly. I get it on tape. And I think without any, look at the lights flashing, Mike. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. It's electric all right.
I'm just ignoring it.
Look at it.
Yeah.
I think the people are waiting. They expect Bob to come up with an explanation of what happened to Abbie. So let's just go right into our source and have him explain what happened to Abbie.
Just after Bush was elected President 88, Neer was murdered by way of a sabotage plane crash. The October 1988 issue of Playboy magazine had a story about George Bush's treasonous deal with Khomeini in 1980. Co-author of the story was Abbie Hoffman, previously described in the press as a so-called radical revolutionary. Just prior to the 88 election, Abbey had lunch with a key player in the 1980 deal, Richard V. Allen. Hey, how's that for a radical? They discussed the 1980 Bush deal. Also, Abbey had somehow arranged to have former top CIA operatives explain to him how Reagan and Bush first got elected to the White House by treason. Abbey Hoffman could have been an important witness at the trial of Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. In April 1989, at a strategic turn in the trial, Abbey was found dead. The press circulated stories that Abbey was depressed, and maybe it was a suicide without a suicide note being left. The circumstances smell of murder. There were strong motives to wipe him out. From his start in the 1960s, Abbey Hoffman played a dangerous game. His role in the street commotions in August 1968 paved the way for a backlash that put in Richard Nixon as president. Abbey and his gang became known as the Chicago Seven, who had confronted the police at the Democratic Convention in Chicago. Despite his well-oiled rhetoric, Abbey fit the pattern of agent provocateur. He got money, power, and benefits traceable to the ruling class. He and Jerry Rubin, Rennie Davis, and Tom Hayden ran away every time we showed up to ask questions. What about the $500,000 they got from foundations linked to the multinational banking families and the CIA? The J.M. Kaplan Fund of New York, the Roger Baldwin Foundation, formerly called the American Civil Liberties Union, the New World Foundation, and others. And how did the Chicago Seven circulate with top officials of CIA, the State Department, the Justice Department? Over the years, we were the ones arrested for trying to question the Chicago Seven. To profit the super rich, Abbey Hoffman's role was to make dope fashionable. His father was a sizable pharmaceutical wholesaler in New England. With a master's degree in clinical psychology, Abbey knew how to fool know-nothings with his jokes. But Abbey Hoffman overstepped himself when he got into the middle of the George Bush treason story. So you can see why Abbey Hoffman was apparently murdered.
Oh, whoa. Mike, you went way over. You stole some of Kent's time, but I guess it's worth playing twice. That'll be repeated at 2 o'clock on Kent Perry's show.
Was I not supposed to play that?
Well, I didn't want you to hear the knocking Abbey part by Sherman Skolnick, because you're a great fan of Abbey's. But I thought the first part was appropriate. Mike, right into it. Remember last fall, you told me, your sources, mediocre as they are, told you that Abbey said in an interview here in Toronto when he was playing at the Horseshoe, I think, that he mentioned the article coming out in Playboy, and just after delivering the manuscript to Playboy, or before or something, just before, he got nailed in a car accident, and he felt someone was trying to kill him.
Right.
Let's remember that. And, of course, Sherman Skolnick's always on top of things, and he and that article was pretty revelatory. It was the October surprise. It was related to the Mae Brussels stuff and the Barbara Honecker stuff, which we featured on interviews. And the fact that Abbey Hoffman could be involved in the Irangate trial this past 6 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, probably is an indication of why he was done away with, because he was mixing it up with some of the people who knew what happened. There's another point there. Another key Irangate person was arrested a few days ago, Khashoggi, all right, the richest man in the world. Just shows you that if you're the richest man in the world, you're nowhere near the power of Bob or the power of the Pinks, the real people, the turn in taxes. I mean, it's a front. He's a cover-up monster, right? So he gets arrested when he's obsolete. He was connected to Contragate. And don't forget the Valdez spill was obviously a distraction from the trial, right? Not many people know that was intentional. But it's hard to believe, but it relates to the fusion technology breakthrough. It was announced on March 23rd. And you know certain people don't want fusion to upset oral consciousness. All right? So why would they destroy oil conscious just having a spill? Well, that's for you to figure out, and we welcome questions on that in our phone session, which is 595-1478. 595-1478.
starting early tonight, aren't we?
Oh, no, we're not starting early because Bob's got some heavy manifestos. This is one of the largest church gatherings. I mean, I think Abby's here tonight with us, don't you think?
Remember the last time we saw Abby was in Toronto, here at Ryerson, with Eldridge Cleaver and
Tim Leary. And wasn't there another person?
No, just three of them. There was a moderator. Who was moderating?
Bobby Fulford or something like that. No, it was the mayor. The guy who CKLN's representative on the city council. You know, Jack somebody?
Jack Layton.
Yeah, Jack Layton. Jack was there disgusted.
And I remember when the show was over, we went up onto the stage, and I ran up with my little copy of Steal This Book, and I had Abby sign it. And I remember I remember hearing this voice far off in the background. What about Mae Brussel, Abby?
And that was Ian, my bodyguard.
Yeah.
Ian Arlett.
We got a call here.
And Abby didn't know what to do with it. He didn't answer.
No, he didn't. He was shocked.
And then shocked.
Surprised.
Now he's shot.
Want to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's see what we got here.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Oh, we had a hang up.
Oh, good. Just to rotate the... Well, no. Here, you can use that for a second. Okay, no call? Hang up?
Yeah, hang up.
See, a distraction.
We freaked out.
All right, let me make a little manifesto first. There's a lot to talk about. You're right, Mike. It's been an electric week. And I got a major new pattern for... The Bob Show. What about the holy offices? Many people ask me, Bob, you're always throwing out references to the Club 22's 10 holy offices. What do they? How do they interact? How do they interplay? Oh, we got another call.
Let's try. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello, caller.
Yes, we have a call for Bob.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Go ahead, baby.
It's our visitor again, Bob.
The pseudo X's.
Example of space garbage. I'm talking about those worms crawling out of that dome structure down there.
He's talking about the Gumbies at the dome stadium. What would that be?
Michael Snow's audience.
Yuck. They're noticing Michael Snow. Oh, what do they have to say about this? This is amazing. Michael Snow, the Abbie Hoffman of Toronto.
I get a feeling he doesn't like it. What does he like?
It's blurbly.
What sort of work do you like?
I am for art that is put on and taken off like pants, which develop holes like socks, which is eaten like a piece of pie, or abandoned with great contempt like a piece of shit.
Oh, a manifesto. A Marinetti manifesto from the pseudo-exes. Can't believe it. The guy's into art.
It's incredible, but clearly doesn't like the Gumbies.
You're saying he doesn't like Michael Snow. He's angry at Michael Snow?
The sneering, posturing, precious crap.
What does Michael Snow have to do with the dome? Have I missed...
He did the audience there.
Oh.
And now I must leave to spew my galactic breakfast all over my lap. This outdoor Gumby sculpture business makes me ill.
Us too.
Rafe on.
I am moving away from this foul.
No, don't leave.
He's going.
Michael off. Snow drove him out of this area. Oh, Michael, you're going to have to favor this, baby.
Michael's foul killer.
What the heck was that?
Corporate art has absolutely ruined any sort of possible
extraterrestrial content. My God, Michael Snow, what have you wrought?
Thank God. I wonder if you've seen Harborfront lately.
Oh,
Well, it's kind of interesting. You remember back in 1966 when the Archer was put out at City Hall, the sculpture, and it just rose so much public outcry against it. And now the conservatism in the city, nobody's saying anything about this crap that they're hanging on the dome that could have been chiseled by chimpanzees.
Called the audience. I mean, he's referring to the rhetorical technique of putting on his audience and referring to the audience.
It's a big sneer.
But it's not appropriate under 80s computer satellite conditions because we've retrieved visual values. The rhetorician doesn't apply anymore. We're back to the logician. All right? The visual value retrieval. Oh, this will flip into rhetoric and those kind of values. But I think the audience betrays an acoustic bias. It seems he's gearing the piece toward the radio audience of baseball games.
I would think so, and it's so precious, too.
Now, Michael Snow, he's the archetype for Canadian retrieved nationalism, right?
Oh.
He's like Margaret Atwood, Bob Fulford, the Order of Canada boys. So why was people become their names? Is his name really Michael Snow? Or
well, it's no job because, man, he was on the committee that chose the work to put up at the dome. No, if that's no job.
A conspiracy you're talking?
Yeah, we saw inside the space where they're doing the work at Nine Hannah.
Say that again. Nine Hannah, fellow terrorist. Black ribbon, check it out.
Yeah, it used to be the old munitions factory. So we go in there with Phoebe the dog, and Phoebe sniffing around and doesn't know whether to pee on it or what. And we saw all this stuff that could have been done by monkeys. And maybe it was done by monkeys.
So
precious, sneering monkeys.
Are you implying that Snow is a robotoid? I hate to say the word, but are you implying he's not fully cognizant of the process of cognition?
I don't know. I think he's so much of an institution and so overfunded that he probably doesn't know where he's at right now.
Yeah, I don't think Michael Snow can take responsibility for what he's doing anymore then.
Well, I don't know.
He did a piece at Eaton's, right?
Yeah, and here's a little story about
But look,
that.
You know what? Just the pun, he was eaten alive since that point, which was about 5 years ago.
Well,
eaten alive.
What's funny is that when all these bus full of native children came to see the work, they all laughed because they said if these geese tried to land, they'd all crash into each other. So they know.
and Snow thinks that he's well-versed in anthropology. I know he's released fake albums based on anthropological reports. Aren't I right, Mike?
Yes, the last LP.
Yeah, but Michael Snow, with a name like that, he was predestined to be the archetype of an obsolete art community in Canada.
Canada's Warhol, right? Yeah,
Canada's
Dali. Culture vulture.
Oh.
Well, I think basically...
He's got a lot on his mind
that's
tonight.
That's puny. That's puny. Who is this? Who's got a lot on his mind?
Tim Howe. We should introduce ourselves.
Oh, you'd like to introduce this as Tim Howe here.
Can I make a small technical request?
Yeah.
Can you just possibly turn down the volume? I mean, a little bit of feedback. And if you are going to talk, just talk a little closer to the mic. It's a crappy mic and it's...
Can you hear that?
Nice.
That's really
soothing.
Pleasant.
It's precious.
This is for Michael. I imagine he's crying now because Bob has not shown up on his side. This will mean his ratings will go way down. I mean, I run the Secret Council 10 that influences people like the Eatons and the Turnin Taxes and the Reichmans, the people who fund Mike, right? And
Bob,
if I tell them not to support Mike's work anymore, thanks to this exposure of his work by Tim Howe, then Mike is going to be a little sad tonight on Hitler's birthday. He'll call me a Nazi. He'll call me a retrieval of the Hitler phenomenon under radio conditions. But I don't think it will work anymore because Michael became his name. As the Bible said, they become what they beheld. It's not an appropriate theological thing to do. So, Michael, go back and read, not Ramo's nephew, go back and read The Medium is a Rearview Mirror by the president of Trenton University, Donald Peel, and find out why you don't understand Finnegan's Wake and never even approach Manipian satire, which is the condition of art today.
Yeah.
Bobby, baby, you want to say something?
Caller, go ahead.
Oh, we have a caller. Here's Michael. Mike's calling in. He listens. Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
When it comes down to it, Michael or one of his entourage. Hold on, let's listen to this.
Please hang up and try your call again. Please hang up. This is a recording.
We've heard that before, haven't we?
We know how that phone call ends.
Oh, at the other line?
Another line.
What line is that, Kent? Let's just press these buttons. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Mike!
Do you have a question
hello?
For Bob? Yeah, hello.
I can't really hear you through here.
Well, turn the radio up or down or whatever is appropriate, eh? You figure it out.
Well, I can't. If I turn the radio up, you'll get feedback.
Well,
but I'll just say something and let it go with that. Then
I just
heard on CBC News. I haven't listened. I just tuned into your show, so I'm not sure this is in context. But Premier Van der Zandt of British Columbia has just declared that the fishermen for squid in the North Pacific are endangering the lives of dolphins and salmon and all kinds of fish by having these 30-mile deep nets that trap all kinds of things that they're technically not supposed to. And he's called this an outrage and saying it's a threat to the environment, and something has to be done about it. He wants the federal government to protect the wildlife in the ocean. So I just thought you might be interested in commenting on why Bill Van der Zandt has suddenly become an environmentalist. You may recall he is famous for gobbling up farmland near Vancouver to put up fantasy gardens and various stupid commercial enterprises that take away our valuable farmland. So this is an interesting twist of Van der Zandt's environmentalist. So I'll let it go with that.
Eric, can you hear us?
Oh, he just hung up.
Yeah.
I guess he wants to hear your response.
Yeah, it sounds like Eric Mills. Listen,
yeah.
I suppose he's walking over. He's turning up the radio. Eric!
Yo,
Eric! Isn't this Nicaraguan news or what? Anyways, Eric, you shouldn't be listening to CBC. That's why, you can't pick
mistake
up reception.
Number one.
See,
mistake number
you shouldn't
one.
Be listening to CBC. Now, the reason Vanderblam or whatever his name is grooving on the ecology is that Gorbachev announced last December at the United Nations that eco-fascism is the order of the day. We're going to have a new form of 1984 totalitarian conditions under ecological premises. That's why the environmentalists got to get out of these corporate board meetings with these boys, because the ecological movement has been hijacked. Bob tells you what media calls you is the old nature's obsolete. Don't worry about the whales, the fish, the sperm, whatever comes out of nature. Worry about media ecology. Why TV is making radio lose ratings compared to the Toronto Star versus the New York Times under satellite conditions. These are real media ecological questions. And so, Eric, I know it's upsetting that the pinks take over the ecological fascism mode, but fusion technology will clear this up. Fusion technology is a breakthrough, unbelievable breakthrough, and oil consciousness is doomed, and ecological fascism is the last gasp of oil consciousness. In other words, they're going to be tanned, it's out of control, we're in trouble, old nature has dropped out, and we're left with no options other than Green Party and Gorbachev. So, Eric, dig that, baby. And I didn't mean what I said if you disagreed with me, because I'm a nice guy and I just want to get along. Sorry,
it's different. Oh, gosh. High level tonight.
Full moon.
I just want to interject this for a second. Also, I want to apologize to our listener a couple of weeks ago who was cut off and interrupted by his mother. And listen, Michael, no hard feelings. Call back if you'd like. And have your mother listen to the show. I think that's important. I think his mother probably wasn't aware what he was listening to and who he was talking to at the time. And if anyone, for God's sake, out there has recorded the show, we'd like to talk to you.
Yes. Check is in the mail already.
Yeah.
Just give us the address.
You have
an important tape, a historical moment.
That's right, Michael.
Not right now. A little later, I'll answer your question you addressed to me 2 weeks ago, which I couldn't answer.
It was a good question, a very sensitive question.
Very
and
good
here
question.
He is being cut off at the prime, you know,
of the answer
by his parental unit. And so, if Michael, you want to call back, please do later on when your mother's asleep. Okay. Bob, are we
all
taking
right.
more phone calls?
Well, is there any ringing?
That's okay. No, but okay. just to encourage
Let's
you.
Let's introduce our new church member.
Yes, please do.
We have here, no, he don't need headphones. You're talking to me, baby. Okay, you pick up Mike, you relay Mike stuff. All right, first guest on my middle is Michael.
Michael Klein.
He's giving his last name.
you guys are
authorized.
I give my last name, too.
Michael Clive, and beside him on his other middle is
Edward X.
Edward Smarter. Edward X. Now, we don't know these people. We've never seen them before. But let's have them account for themselves and why they're here joining the church tonight.
And suck up to the mic.
Come up a little closer, Edward and Michael.
You just used the word join. Actually, I consider myself a freelance student of comparative religion, and you know that requires visiting places of worship of various denominations.
What a compliment!
So, I have read some of Church of the Subgenius literature, but I never saw any mention that actually you know, setting foot into
Yeah, why are we getting feedback? Is turn it down?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And pull the mic over.
Well, I just wanted an audience with Bob.
Yeah, this is
and
very
I know
important.
Sammy Davis Jr. had an audience with the Pope, and he's not Catholic. And I, you know, I mean,
yeah, you're certainly. You don't have to remember my church, but you're based basing your understanding on the literature. Mm-hmm. Which, if you've listened to my show for years, you know the literature is all wrong, and that the real church is live on the air, discarnate under electric conditions. So you join the church whether you're here or not. Mm-hmm. When you're tuned into my show, you are a member of the show, whether you're a pink or subgenius. So that's what I mean by joining. You are here live, discarnate with us. Your voice is being projected all over the place. All satellite pickups are, those who are picking it up, are here, and you're there. Actually, we're all in the middle merged. And this is quite an astounding condition that we can't visualize. And you're experiencing that right now. So you have joined the church as long as you're here until the show ends.
Well, I'm getting a bit dizzy. Like, unlike most of your listeners right now, I could reach over and pinch your cheek. You know, not that I would.
That's right,
but,
yeah.
That
makes you dizzy.
But I'm an impressionable guy. I'm a bit nervous. You know, I was visited Europe for the first time 2 years ago, and everywhere you turn around, there's a manifestation of the Virgin Mary, who I never gave that much thought to. But the last one I saw in England, Henry VIII, he'd sacked the entire monastery, but they left the Virgin Mary on the top. And my heart went out to her, you know. And that was just 5 weeks in Europe looking at Virgin Mary. And
that got you into religion?
Oh, well, it was a near miss.
It was a near miss.
Yeah, so now I'm visiting you tonight, and you're unlike the Virgin Mary in many ways. Let me count the ways. It's
okay, start counting.
Well, you see, it's this kind of thing, manifestations, like...
Good, you have notes.
I'm just reading an ordinary Bohemian newspaper from New York, and I flip the page, and what do I see? This may have been brought to your attention.
Ooh. The Dark Bob... March 17th, this is this year, Village Voice, Franklin Furness. Prophet, poet, or performance artist, one of the brightest lights I'm aware of shines through an artist who calls himself the Dark Bob. Cindy Lamb wrote that in the LA Weekly. Well, what do you think, Mike? Does that look like me? No. You know who that is?
He's a heretic of some kind.
No, he's not a heretic. He's a follower of... he lives in Toronto. He migrates to New York after listening to 6 weeks of my shows and gets inspired by my content. He zips down to New York and puts on a show. This guy is a regular listener to my show. Hmm. And the Dark Bob refers to the fact that radio is acoustic space. It's a dark well of loneliness, all right? So the Dark Bob means he is an effect of the acoustic medium of radio, which is Bob's church. So that's what the Dark Bob refers to. And it says underneath, leisure time in 10 city. Yeah, leisure time in 10 city. 10 is the reference to the Secret Council of 10, which I run. What do you think of that? It says right there, leisure time in 10 city. Proof that that is an agent for Bob. That's part of free trade. That is my church moving into the United States. Okay? So that's very good research. Now...
The $12.50 admission, do you get a cut of that?
Yes, most of it goes to me. And you know what I do with it? I burn it. And then you know what I do? I eat it. I then...
Poop it.
Relief it. Thank you, Mike. Poop it. And then I eat it again. And the second time of poop, it's organic again. And then I forget what to do with it. So Connie serves it up to her patients. Hmm. All right? Okay, now, we got any calls, Mike?
No calls,
Bob. 595-1478.
If you have a question for Bob Seidel on any of the topics we're talking about or anything that's not relevant to what we're talking about. So.
Yeah, anything you want to bring up. I think this guy here, Edward, should take a break. He's a little nervous. He came up with some good stuff. Let's go to his buddy, Michael.
Let's go to the phone line.
Oh, wait a minute, Mike. You take a break.
I see
Caroline. Rehearse your script.
Hi, do you have a question for Bob?
No, I just... yeah, I do, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you know how in Christianity there's a God and a devil, right?
Yeah.
Well, in the Church of the Subgenius, you're Bob. Is there an anti-Bob out there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. And it's not the Dark Bob. The anti-Bob is, it's a crowd of people. gathered in Saskatchewan tonight. And it's sort of dropouts from the Secret Council of Ten before I was elected. Now that I'm chairman of the Secret Council of Ten, the Andy Bob is kind of heading back to Saturn, but he does have a few outposts left here on the planet, and one of them is in Saskatchewan. The Andy Bob is a crowd. It's not one person.
Bob, how can you describe the Andy Bob if you were to see one? Would you know when to see one?
When you're in a crowd and you notice one of them is really making you angry, you know, I would like to say a stronger word, but if you know that somebody in that crowd is angering you, really making you uncomfortable, then you know that is an Andy Bob crowd. Because a real crowd, a subgenius crowd, is like discarnate conditions and a utopian experience, a blissful experience, very close to heaven. Now, those crowds are rare. So, as you see, Andy Bob is quite in the majority right now, but weakening because he's leaving the planet. He's leaving this pink prism, going back to their origins, which was Saturn, to start again the endless cycle of Buddhist religion.
How does Bob respond to these anti-Bobs? Does he get angry, or does he seek revenge on them?
Well, my agents in Russia before Gorbachev locked them up. That's what I did. But here in the United States, Bob would deal with these anti-Bobs by ignoring them in the media. He wouldn't give them any coverage. All right? Now, this situation is changing. It's going to flip because Gorbachev is instituting a new situation. So we'll be locking them up in North America and ignoring them in the Soviet Union's media. That is a new process for the 90s. You get what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I get what you mean. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're not very Canadian, are you?
Me? I'm Canadian, yeah.
No, you're not. Who told you that?
Who told me that?
Yeah, who the heck? I mean, this is outrageous. How long have you been walking around with that illusion?
Ever since I was born.
And that was what, about 38 years ago?
37
years ago. 38 years ago, right. I was right. And, you know, that's 3 9s, 27. I'll grant you, you may not be 38, you may be 27. That's 3 9s. You're going into your fourth nine. Remember the quote from Finnegan's Wake, wearing number 9 in Yangtze hats. Wayne Gretzky doubled it with 2 9s to get the Andy Bathgate Morris Richard effect. Okay, that's why he's so good. But you, baby, are going into your fourth 9 cycle. That is a tetrad. Drop this Canadian nonsense. Become one with Bob, which means quit your job, hire a secretary, don't pay her, fire the secretary, then... I'm losing sight of the script, Mike. What's the next phrase?
I've lost the cue card.
Yeah, oh, I lost the cue card. Anyways, I think you do something after the
quit my job. Are you nuts?
Yes, I am nuts and very good at it. You see, I can make you think that nuts is where it's at. I'm sorry to use that phrase, where it's at. I mean, I cover many time zones, and sometimes I do slip into an old mode, right? But you being 27...
Okay, I'll quit my job.
You come down to the station.
I'll be calling you for extra money.
That's
for
right.
You to give me money.
You come down to the station, I will give you $100 a week as long as you need it. If you find that you need to live on that amount, then you come to Bob and I'll give you some money. And this ain't advertising. This is a fact. Take me up. I'm telling the truth. You can't believe
it. Once we get down, you won't give me a penny.
Oh, that's the chance you got to take. Bob's a risk. Hitchhiking used to be a risk. Not anymore. Right? Being with Bob...
I'll come down there with my pajamas on.
Are you in your pajamas?
Yes.
You're a Canadian. My God, you are a Canadian. Wearing pajamas.
Okay.
The pajama people. Now, listen, I really appreciate you defending your essence. I mean, I was just trying to stress it to see if you really are a Canadian. You don't sound like a Canadian.
Well, my mother's from Ireland.
She's smiling?
She's from Ireland.
Aha! You're a Finnegan. You're a Finnegan. You ever read James Joyce's Finnegan's Wake?
No, I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's all about you.
It's all
about the Irish.
I'll pick it up.
Yeah, because under electric conditions, the Irish retrieve their tribal unity and cohesion. And you, that's what I mean. You're not a Canadian. You should be back in Ireland. See, I'm always right. I can't believe it.
No way, man. It's too dangerous over there. I might get killed.
Oh, you believe what the media tells you? It is utopia over there. Are they going to let you know? They fake all that demonstrations and riots and bombings. That is all set up as a media coverage to keep you away from the utopia retrieved by James Joyce under Finnegan's Wake conditions. It's the Green Emerald. Always will be. The Green Party was started by Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was by the Germans, Germany.
Listen, don't ever listen to anything on the news or on TV. It does not apply anymore. The biggest terrorists, that's right, listen to me every second Wednesday, and the biggest terrorists are those people sponsored by your taxes on CBC. They're the biggest terrorists sitting there on the media. It goes all the way from you-know-who down to the other one, right?
That's funny, because sometimes I read letters in the paper, and they call the CBC a left-wing, nothing but a bunch of left-wing people.
No, they aren't that. They see, that's where you're being misinformed. Those categories don't apply. They haven't applied since 1939. There is no left, right, center. You're getting into a lecture mode. I don't like to do that. We have guests. Please call me back after 1 o'clock and we can continue this because
okay,
I love
okay,
talking
sure,
to Canadians.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, thanks for your call.
Okay, bye.
Good night. Oh, geez. I felt I was a little on edge that time.
You were.
Like, I don't know what it
you
is.
You became very offensive.
I think offensive, but it happens. Bob is many things.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to Michael.
Okay, we have another guest here. Michael, he's been jotting down notes. He has something to say. You can just tell. I hope he doesn't flash it. Go ahead, Mike. What are you here for and
bring
how
him,
are you?
Bring him up close to the mic.
Come on up close to the mic. You got to stand real close. Okay.
Well,
Michael Clyde.
I happened to tune into the airwaves last week.
Are you the guy that was shocked?
No, I was whipping the guy that was...
Going up and down the dial.
No.
Oh, you were whipping yourself with the... were you...
No, that was...
Wait a minute. You know who these guys are, Mike? These... You're Michael and you're Eddie? You know who these guys are, Mike? They are agents of Connie. I just figured it out.
Oh, he's an agent of Connie. I'm a dupe.
Yeah, this guy, this is, oh, my God. So,
this is legit, though.
Okay, go ahead. I know who you are now.
Well, that sort of happened. That was unplanned. But, we've been sort of tuning in.
Well, let me tell you. But I know about this guy. He had heard that Bob was in Toronto. He was already into the literature, into the church.
That's right.
And then you found... Michael here met Connie accidentally.
Totally
impressed. And couldn't believe Eddie, his buddy, is looking for Bob, and he found Connie. And so I understand now. I understand the connection. So, Michael, what do you want to talk about? Did you write something down?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of something to talk about. I'm not in this league, really.
But, oh, no, no. Don't worry. We're all friends.
But the thing that I'm...
You're a musician. Talk about what you know. See, I know both.
You
were a musician. Now you're a bloody Xeroxer. I mean, you just Xeroxes all day long.
Macintosh.
Okay, sorry. I'll give you space, buddy. I'll give you space.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm more concerned about, issues and things like that. That's what
issues?
I'm into.
Tissues.
Tissues. Yeah. That's right. But the thing that struck me recently is just things that are happening in my life. Iranian immigrants and refugees, sir. I had a refugee over today. And
over to where?
Over to my house.
Yeah.
And I'm just a little concerned. Like, a lot of these people are coming over to this land. I mean, they're still coming over like the Italians did 40 years ago, seeking the new land. And
they don't know we're going into captivity here.
And it's kind of... disappointing in a way. One of them wants to go back to Germany already. Better there. I came here hoping for money and all of these things.
And there's nothing here, right?
And yeah, they're losing all their slack. And I mean, he's only learning a few words, but it's funny how slack has become one of his common.
Where did you get that from?
Words. Well, sort of for me. I was
trying to. Oh, you were using it. Yeah.
I've been teaching him English, sort of. And
the first word is slack.
Yeah.
Well, the new Mita copiers, they have darker, lighter, and large, reduced, and slack.
Oh, yeah.
Little button on the
right. No content. Slack ones have no content, I imagine.
Landlord's a good word, too.
So you're not for closing down... the immigration possibilities, but you have a sense of one and give out a warning to people who are coming here?
Well, they're pretty disappointed.
What don't they like? It's just hard to live here?
Yeah, they're not really given much of they're not given much money to get a start here. It's nice that they get some money.
All the money goes to Michael Snow.
Yeah. Michael, he steals a lot of it. And then he mocks these people and puts effigies of them, in front of the dome. Cartoon effigies.
Yeah, he mocks. We should put him overseas for good, don't you think?
Yeah, let's exchange Michael for who?
Oh, Gaddafi?
No, Rushdie.
Oh, sure.
Salman Rushdie, all right?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Michael, your issue wasn't that exciting because the other Michael is signaling we have a caller.
Oh, that's
maybe he's an immigrant. Go ahead. Michael can't get the... the bloody guts. That Michael, whatever his name is, Michael Snow, a Canadian archetype, he just can't speak. He wants to say something. It's the third time he's called tonight. Is that okay?
Yeah.
If but Michael Snow feels a bit threatened, I feel a bit threatened. I've been a card-carrying member of the Michael Snow fan club for 23 years.
22 years, buddy. Yeah. Don't smudge the statistics.
He did some good film work in New York City. That's pretty strong stuff, but... Gee.
I collected some opinions.
No, don't. You can say more than that. Gee, come on. I mean, we love no, Mike, you guys are not carrying the ball. We got to go to the phones again. If this guy hangs up four times, we know it's Michael. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah, me.
Bob, it's your buddy, Doug.
Dougie, the other little Bobby, the up-and-coming Bobby. Yes, the only one who read Laws of Media and LaRouche's biography. Over the holidays at Christmas. Doug, we've been waiting to hear from you. There were lots of complaints about how you dominated the show that time, but Doug, I love you. Go ahead.
Okay, Bob. Well, I was applying, I was cutting up some newspapers and sticking them together, and I came up with some sentences, and I wanted to just read them. They're a little off, but I thought they might provoke you to rap on.
Yeah, are you channeling Bill Burrows tonight?
No, more Brian Geisen.
Okay, good.
Okay, the first one I want to try is standard devotion, more truthful deaths.
Yes, devote Gnosticism, devotion to the spiritual world. That's standard devotion to death, Gnosticism. Next.
And indeed, the audience now embody them.
The audience refers to Michael Snow's work, and it does embody them, but under electric conditions, we don't have bodies, so the audience fails to be embodied. Michael Snow's work fails.
I'd have to agree with that assessment of Mr. Snow's joke. Don't you think he sort of tells the same joke over and over again for the last how many years?
22 years. 22 years.
22 years.
So does Burroughs. Read Milton Acorn.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
Canadian.
I heard it.
Milton Acorn, my bodyguard's favorite poet. Go ahead, next one, Doug. Any more?
See no moment of dread, but one that which is.
See means you're using your eyes. And under acoustic conditions, it's pretty hard to use your eyes unless you have a grasp of Finnegan's Wake, the only book that can be sensible in enhancing your eyes through print. But if you use your eyes in a pink way, you will always be worried about an upcoming horrible moment. And what was the last part of that phrase?
But one that which is was a little
right.
convoluted.
The one that is that you're worrying about a future horrible moment, and the fact is the horrible moment has already happened, which is the rapture, which is the collapse of the human dimension under electric conditions. We now move into a new super spiritual, super materialistic, non-Gnostic interplay using percept, involving tetrads for understanding process. All right, and the best way to do that is. Yeah, your next. Okay, next one.
Oh no! I wanted to pursue the thing about sight. I was, you know, Bob, that I'm a photographer, and I was talking to someone last week, and I was mentioning that in Toronto, when you put a camera to your eye and are taking pictures on the street, immediately the people's behavior starts to change, and they become distrustful of you. And this person who's an American, he said it's a lot different in America, and that somehow in Canada. When we're young, we have this a sense that we lose as we get older, that sight or seeing and form are feeling in themselves, not just telling someone your feelings, but the way that you look at them
yes.
is a feeling. But that, as he says, that as Canadians, we distrust that as we get older. And instead of saying to someone, look out or... Or no. See, we're more apt to say, be careful. We don't use our eyes as much.
Yeah, that's the horrible moment theme. If you use your eyes, you would look out.
you know, be more cautious. See, they're using the wrong terms. They're saying be cautious, and when they're referring to the hidden ground of looking out, which isn't there, you're saying it's obsolete. If they hoik up their eyes and use them more, then they could be cautious because they'd be looking out, right?
That's part of it. I'm just also, when you're talking about acoustic space, we have acoustic space because of the electronic environment, but we also have our physical space still. We don't live solely in acoustic space, do we?
Yeah, that's the horrible moment. That's the horrible moment that is we have been usurped. We do not exist anymore. Nature dropped out a long time ago, and that includes us.
Did we drop out of nature or it dropped out of us?
The Greek form of nature, what we call nature, Earth, the old stage that Shakespeare talked about, you know, the world's a stage.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of that stage. We were the actors on it. It dropped out. That whole milieu, matrix, dropped out. We're now in a new nature, which cannot be categorized in the Western Hemisphere's left hemisphere literate tradition. It can only be categorized in an ongoing process, which, you know, in three letters is Bob.
Right? But the literate tradition, when you say literate, and are you talking as the story or the word as opposed to form or sight?
Okay, just stop there. You said as opposed. Literacy, first came speech, which was the word.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then the word got altered by a new technology, the phonetic alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
So it created a new form of word, a visually oriented.
An abstraction.
An abstract, a sightful word. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the electric environment, first the mechanical environment, then the electric environment, changed the word again. The word is all our senses operating in harmony, the tactile sense. Language is basically tactile. I don't talk about tactility that much, but visual and acoustic and kinetic and proprioceptive senses interplay, and that interplay factor itself is tactility, which is consciousness. And that's what Bob is tactility extended. All right? Now, the electric environment extends tactility, and the rear-view mirror content, the figures, are auditory space and visual space. But we emphasize acoustic because we're living musically now, totally.
We're living musically.
We live entirely by music. That is our nutrition, and yet it's not the ground. The ground is tactility.
But when you say music, you don't necessarily mean notes put together, but
right.
More...
We live musically, meaning a resonant... Amorphic resonance, as a subgenius brought up a few weeks ago.
Amorphic resonance?
Amorphic resonance.